interesting stuff going on.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what's so interesting?
What's
so interesting?
Well, I think a few lines have been drawn in the sand over what went on at Bethel, I think.
He might not have heard what happened.
I'm pretty much out of the loop of that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
What happened?
Bill Johnson on Sunday publicly renounced anything to do with Jason Westerfield and called him a deceiver and being influenced by demonic forces and stuff. So,
witchcraft.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
I think it's going to be a line drawn in the sand moment. It's going to polarize a lot of people.
Well, Jason is pretty out there. I mean, obviously, you know, he's got what would be considered extreme views, I would think, for most. And it's the way he communicates, I think, some of the things. I don't think he's that far out there, but I think it's just the way he communicates, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I personally agree. You know, I've listened to a few conferences recently, and I felt sort of a little bit, nothing I disagreed with, just felt he's not a teacher in that sense, or hasn't been presenting it in a teaching format. So things have been, you know, said but not really necessarily explained or backed up. But, you know, I believe that, in a sense, this is part of, you know, an exposing of the old and a embracing a new. And I in a sense, with a heavy heart in one sense, because I honor Bill Johnson and Bethel for all that they've done, and they've done some amazing things. Brought people from a point of, you know, personally engaging, not sitting in the pews and all that sort of stuff, you know, seeing heaven come to earth and you know, been excellent in equipping people. But seems like, you know, they've brought people up to, you know, the river and now they're not going across it, you know. And I think to publicly come out and do that, I'm not saying it's a mistake. I'm just saying that it's going to be a polarizing moment for various things. And, you know, it's the first of many that's coming. You know, I'm aware, having seen some things and done some things in the heavens, what's taking place at this point in time and what's coming in later on in the year. So I wasn't surprised. You know, I actually had a chat to a guy who visited here on Sunday and had done Bethel School of Ministry in the past. And I asked him, you know, how were they sort of engaging in some of these New Order things? And he was sort of, well, there's one lady who used to be sort of Bill Johnson's PA or something, and she's done a class on something, you know, engaging heaven and stuff. But in sense, his sort of view was, well, they've got their mandate and they're pretty much sticking to it, and they haven't really got time to engage in anything new. I mean, I think the sad thing for me is that one of the things I've always liked about the principles that they've shared is, you know, we want to hand the baton to the next generation, and we want, you know, our ceiling to be their floor, and we want them to stand on our shoulders and go higher and further. And now it seems that, you know, one of those who has come through Bethel, and to be honest, actually started the majority of this supernatural stuff, you know, in terms of the treasure hunting and stuff on the streets. And, you know, he was the guy who really, you know, got it all kick-started. You know, now, rather than passing the baton and encouraging, they're renouncing him. And fortunately, I think a lot of their kids and ministry school who went to the conferences, who came under the untethering prayers, all of a sudden everything got lifted off them. And all the stuff that was suppressed and held down and not dealt with all came to the surface. So, you know, it wasn't to me, it wasn't something which was demonic. It was something that was just exposing what was there when it got lifted off, you know. And you know, having listened to what was said, you know, I think I needed to listen to what was said. I listened to it this morning, and thought, okay.
Is it online?
Yeah, it's available as a video. You can watch it. I mean, it's probably worth a view for anyone who's moving in these things just to get a perspective on what was said. And you know, I honor them, and you know, I long to them to cross over and embrace, you know, what God is doing. But seems like they've drawn a line, and you know, I imagine that this won't be the first person or other things that get done. I mean, the sad thing was there was no real substance to what the criticisms were. You know, I mean, I obviously don't know the situation, but I have heard Jason explain why he sort of has been out of the limelight in one sense, or withdrawn from some of the personal stuff that he's been doing over the last few years, you know, was to deal with some of the difficulties he's faced, I think, and probably the challenges that people have been trying to get him to renounce his views and back away from some of the things that he's doing, you know. And you know, if you have the conviction that this is what God is calling you to, you know, I mean, to be honest, one of the things that was said was, you know, we want to go for more of God regardless of the cost. You know, that was what Bill Johnson was saying. We've always said that, and I think, you know, one of his ministry team people in the school asked him the question, well, you've always said we should go for God without the cost. You know, what's going on? You know, is this not going for God and pushing on for more? And his response was, yes, but within biblical parameters. And, you know, that's okay. What does that mean? You know, I mean, are we saying everything that there is in God is in the Bible? Well, we know that's obviously not true. We know from John saying that even if things Jesus did was recorded, it would fill all the libraries of the world. So, in a sense, we know that can't mean that only the things in the Bible are real and true. Obviously, yes, it must line up with the nature and the precepts of God, but I don't believe we can, you know, some of the things was, you know, there were veiled references to, you know, not acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God, and it's certainly nothing that I've heard, and no one that I know has heard anything like that come from Jason. Yes, some of the stuff is pretty sort of far out for a lot of people, but you know, for most of us who've engaged in heaven, none of it is you know, anything weird at all, really. I mean, it's just the way I guess some of it's presented. In a sort of less than explanatory way, may leave people open to interpretation on quite a few things, I suppose. But, you know, I think, you know, personally, I believe that, you know, God is preparing to release judgment in a sense of a verdict on what is and what isn't in line with what he's doing. And some of these things are going to be shaken, you know, and I think this will shake some of the mountains that have been built in the wilderness. Rather than, you know, those willing to cross over, some of them have built mountains, and this seems like another indication that there are people on top of a mountain. Rather than releasing the baton to others to go further and higher, they're now restricting where people can go, which is sad. You know, that's the sad thing in this, but I think those people who are hearing the sound of heaven will see it for what it is and continue to embrace, you know, where things are going. You know, we've got some people on the beta group who are actually in Bethel School of Ministry, so I'll be really interested to see what happens with them as a result of this. So, you know, in some senses it's sad, but I think it's part of the shaking that is going to take place. And one of the things, you know, many years ago in my first encounters to heaven, I engaged with Enoch in sort of this sort of room behind the waterfall, and you know, I was like engaged with Enoch, and he gave me a quest, and I'm like, this is really weird. You know, what do you mean by a quest? You know, it's like, so he said, well, you've got this quest, and you've got a quest to remove masks. So I'm like, okay. But I found that sort of really led me into the whole issue of transformation and removing the layers and the, you know, they've been built up around people, and you know, and to enable people to see who they really are, and enable that people to be real about their identity, you know, and I've pursued that. And this year, or I think it was very end of last year, I had a similar encounter. You know, I was messing around in the river somewhere, and ended up in the waterfall, and went behind the waterfall, and met Enoch again. And Enoch said, you know, you've been faithful in what you were given to do. Now you've got another quest, and I want you to remove the masks that are on the church. So I think, oh my word, you know, and you know, and I've been doing a lot of stuff in the realms of heaven, and a lot of stuff, you know, I've been involved recently with the Galactic Council and some stuff, and prepared a court case, and been administering for the last, I don't know, 30 days almost. Some of these issues, and you know, I'm not saying that what I've done has caused this, but I believe it's part of the season we're in that's going to unveil things and bring things into the light and remove those masks that are veiling the truth, you know. So in one sense, I was, you know, I was expecting, having talked to this guy on Sunday, something in my spirit just said something's going to happen with this, because I just felt they're such an influential group, and if they're not going to come out in favor and encourage their schools and ministry to embrace this stuff, then they're probably going to come out against it. So I really felt that, and you know, within a day, you know, I sort of had people emailing me, so what's going on, and you know, all this stuff. I'm like, well, you know, we must maintain honor and blessing, and I've sort of would so desire for that whole group and ministry to embrace what God's doing. If they don't, then people within it will start hearing the call of God and start following the call. You know, it's like the cloud is going to move. Let's go with the cloud. And if you built a mountain and a ministry and the cloud moves, you got a choice. You're going to leave it, or you're going to defend it, and a lot of ministries are going to get the same choice coming up. So it's really interesting. But you know, in a sense, you know, I don't know. I mean, I tried contacting Jason from, you know, his website and stuff, and just sent him a message of support, you know, saying that, you know, a lot of people are standing with you, and you know, don't give up blazing a trail, you know. On the other side, I also feel, you know, sense of, for Bill Johnson, not to have no condemnation or anything like that, you know, and to, you know, call out to the guy to hopefully hear what God is saying. But I imagine that wasn't done lightly, and I imagine that it must have been done with the full consent of their whole board or group. So, you know, he's probably not, he's obviously just a figurehead who's made this declaration, and that itself is on behalf of the movement. I mean, there were people there who, I mean, I know some people who were there on a leadership in advance, you know, and thing, and they were there when they heard all this, so it's going to go far and wide. So, it's, yeah. You know, there we go.
Can I say something, Mike? Because I believe, yeah, this is one of the crux of the matter is that the church has to discover who they are and what the reality of who we are is.
Yeah.
In other words, we have been fixed in this moment. We've operated out of a almost a suspension in the time zone that we're in, the timeline that we're in, and without thinking out of the box that we're now, we're not no longer trapped in that. You're going to see that. I believe that's how we actually judge with our eyes and with our ears. Is that because I always thought it's like, don't just think about things in the earth, think about Jesus, his love for you and stuff. But it's so much more. It's that we're really not who we are anymore, or we're not who we used to be anymore. And God's, like you said, removing that mask. He's, you know, he's showing beings of light. Mm. And what does that mean, to be a being of light? That means we're not suspended in this time. Mm. And I think that's what's breaking, you know, this theology because if you start going outside of this time, that you're not limited to this time, then you're changing it. What does it mean to even, what does it mean to be saved? Mm. Does it mean to just accept Jesus and confess him? I mean, that's a verse that we've held, but or does it mean to actually embrace him and now you become one with him?
Yeah.
Because the more scriptures I'm seeing, it's about seeing him, entering into him, things that I always assume were basically metaphors. And now I realize, no, it's an actual thing that we do, and it's a work of grace. We have no power in it almost other than to yield to it.
Yeah.
That's my point of view. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been called into sonship. That comes out of a place of intimacy and relationship, which brings identity, and then that from that place of rest, it releases us into government, and we're beginning to see that we're here to answer the call of creation and the groan of creation to be manifested as sons. And, you know, sons are sons, joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God. When we're looking at all these scriptures, all of a sudden we're hit with, that is true. No, it's just like, oh, well, that's just a mystery. We'll never understand it. No, the mysteries are being unveiled. You know, the mysteries are coming out of darkness and coming into the light, and the books are being opened, and revelation is progressive, so that all those things that we saw as metaphors or allegories or other things are actually real. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, let's go. Let's actually go to the throne of grace. You know, follow Jesus, our forerunner, through the veil, and come into the Holy of Holies, which is clearly what it says in Hebrews. So let's go. You know, come up here and embrace the open door, because the ladder is from heaven and going into earth. You know, now we can go. And I think so much of this is unveiling the reality of true sonship, who the Father really is, who Jesus really is, and who we really are in him, and the fact that in him we're seated in heavenly places, so let's go. You know, it's not just, well, we're in him, and that's just, he's there representing us. No, we're in him, and therefore we are. And if he's omnipresent, therefore we are not restricted by time and space, as you said. You know, we are in him, he's in us, therefore if he's in us, and we're him in us, and if he's on the throne of our life, you know, we've embraced the seat of rest in government within us, then he is training us to reign. You know, that's what it says. We're in training for reigning. You know, we're to reign in life. We're to rule. You know, out of the relational intimacy comes responsibility. And our responsibility is for the whole created order that we were always given responsibility over. You know, and yes, okay, we start with this planet. And no doubt some people are, you know, called to be involved in preparing the way for other things, but we've got to get this planet back into its rightful place in the center of God's purposes, back into the, out of time and space, back into the realms of the spirit, which is where it came from. You know, so we're on a time. I mean, this is a convergence of what was and what is and what will be, and there are some pretty significant moments coming that we need to embrace. You know, so the revelation of who we truly are, and just even the mindsets and the restrictions of religion that have veiled us are coming off. You know, and therefore our conscious awareness of who we are is expanding to be receiving the truth. And once you know the truth by experience, it sets you free to know even more truth. Most people only have intellectual understanding, rather than knowledge of the truth by personal experience. The more we engage the truth as a person and have personal experience with him, then the capacity that we have as sons and the sort of unlimitedness of that becomes more apparent. Yeah, and suddenly it's like, wow, you know, the blinds come off when the darkness went when I got saved, and then the religious veils got put on for most people. You know, God took the veil off and the light shone in and we accepted the light, and then the veil went back on and we were under a religious covering that has hindered us from seeing the fullness of that light, so that we can see the light, walk in the light, actually be light beings and radiate light in the glory of God and be transformed from one degree of glory to another. So, you know, we're in a pretty amazing time. And of course there's going to be opposition, because there always has been opposition from the last move. I was just hoping, and I guess it was a hope rather than a faith statement, that some of those guys who were saying that they were going to pass the baton on and not hinder the next move, it would. But, you know, and we're in that place where some of the decisions are having to be made. You know, and this is going to challenge some of that. But we are in that place where the reality is just so much different. I mean, it's just so like, you know, for me, the Matrix. You know, wake up, Neo. The Matrix has got you. You know, and the world has been pulled over our eyes. You know, and now, as soon as that is being removed from our eyes, we're able to see everything from a different perspective and see the reality of the true dimensions that we're living in, you know, rather than that which has held us captive and bondage and kept us as slaves, effectively, to the religious machine. You know, whereas God wants to free us into the relationship of sonship, to free us from that bondage to slavery, to come into the reality of what it is to be sons of God, so that then he can manifest us and show us off, in a sense. These are my kids. Look, they look like me. You know, and they've gone through the fire of transformation to get here, to be like they are. You know, they've not run away from the fiery sword and hide in the bushes and cover up anymore. They're embracing the fire and embracing the sword and allowing it to transform and change them into the confirmation of that image, because that's who he always predestined us to be, you know, made in his eternal image, carrying and reflecting that and being who we are. And, you know, we're now starting to see ourselves. So when we look in the mirror of the Word, that mirror is reflecting back a totally different image than it did a few years ago. And we're being changed from one degree of glory to another, into that image which is reflected from the very knowledge of God and who we are in his heart and who he always created us to be. Now we're starting to come into that, and you know, it's an amazing thing, you know. So yeah, awesome times, but challenging ones as well.
Good morning, Mike.
Hiya.
I just wanted to add a word.
Yeah,
I got in just a little late, but I'm picking up on what's happening. Isn't it almost a rule of life, or at least a spiritual life, that the current move is going to fight the next move? It's just, you know, you and I and others that have been here so long have seen so much of this. And it's almost expected, but like you say, you were hoping that it would be different this time. I read a book years ago by D. Artiga called Quenching of the Spirit that follows this all the way through history. On the, it's called, it talks about the Pharisee, how it comes along and tries and kills the next move, you know. But I have a term I've used for some time, living on the edge of heresy. Because everything that we've fought for in the last 30 years at one point was deemed almost heresy, and now we live in the middle of it,
yeah.
And it's part of our life. So where does this end? It doesn't. We just keep going on into the next move. And I think my desire, and I know yours is, Lord, don't let me be the one that would fight the next move.
Yeah.
Because it's coming. I mean, we'll step into another realm and another realm.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my
Yeah, so, absolutely. And, you know, their shift is coming. You know, God is going to reveal his glory in his people, and, you know, those people are going to arise as an ecclesia that actually is gathered around his purposes, and that is going to be a huge challenge. And I believe the mansion of the house of the Lord will be raised up, and I believe, you know, all the hills will suddenly start to see who they really are in terms of their level of authority compared to the kingdom and God's authority, and we'll see people streaming, you know, and they'll be streaming out of the old and coming into the new, you know, and we're gonna see that harvest that's coming, and we need to be able to not see that harvest rot on the ground, but brought into the storehouse and become a source of life for the world, which is, you know, what happened with Joseph. And I think this is we're at this Joseph moment where we're going to start to see a harvest, and we're going to then start to see some really difficult things, but that harvest that comes into the storehouse, 20% was then the whole world came to Egypt because it was the source of life. It was the source of everything, you know, and I think the world is going to come to a church that is actually fully reflecting the glory of God, and cities of refuge and all the things that are going to become part of that. You know, we're in a time where we're starting to see the beginnings of what that is going to look like. And, you know, we need to, as you say, keep following the cloud and embrace what it is and teach people and mentor people, you know, be this Joshua generation so that we can mentor that next generation that's coming. You know, and for the last 40 years, there's been a call out into what we would see as the charismatic community to embrace this Joshua generation thing and what's coming in this harvest, and embrace crossing over into beyond the veil. You know, and those that have refused to come, as Jesus' parable was, you know, those who have been invited to the wedding feast and invited to the banquet and have refused to come through various reasons, he's going to send out his angels into the highways and byways and start compelling a whole lot of other people to come in. And my personal view, and I feel, you know, what God has said to me is, he's going to go out to the historic churches where they know nothing of this stuff. They've got no grid of reference for anything. And they're going to start to have angelic visitations, and they're going to start to have dreams of Jesus visiting them, and they're going to have heavenly encounters, and they're going to be like, "Whoa, how do I get to know about this?" You know, and we're going to need to be ready to give them a frame of reference and to bring them in and mentor them into these things, because God is going to visit them, without a doubt. And I've had forerunners' experiences of that here, where, you know, I've issued sort of a call over the last 3 or 4 years, and we prophetically heard God speak about intimacy, leadership coming together and giving God space and giving God room, because he wants to draw them intimate and deeper, and a number of people have embraced that, and a number of people have been too busy being good, faithful stewards to embrace friendship. And now God is starting to visit some people in their churches with open visions and heavenly encounters, and they're like, "Oh, you need to go and see Mike." It's like, you know, I can't give you any help. You know, and I'm like, "Well, don't send them to come and see me. You come and see me." You know, because actually that's what they need. They need you to help them because you've embraced this. And, you know, don't be too busy. You know, don't be too busy to embrace intimacy and friendship. Come from a place of rest. You know, but this is going to happen more and more. And with one lady, she was in our Churches Together group, and she, you know, I heard her ask, you know, her minister, you know, a question about some dream vision she had, and it was just, I heard him say, "Well, go and see Mike," you know, and, you know, she was standing, it was funny, she was standing between two of us who have embraced this stuff on Good Friday when we were in the street. And we had a whole series of crosses, and we were just standing for 20 minutes just in silence. And it was just like, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in the whole high street. It was like everyone, to start with, everyone was just chatting. And then as soon as everything fell quiet, it was just this weight came, and of reverence came over the whole street. And she was standing between two of us who were holding these crosses, and she had an open vision. And one of the seven spirits of God came to her and, you know, started to call her into stuff. And she's just like, whoa. And she, I saw her be spaced out. And she sort of came up to me and said, oh, I've just seen this. You know, what is it? You know, and I'm like, well, okay, go away and think about meditating on some stuff about this and ask God to give you revelation of what it is that he's calling you to in terms of heaven. And, you know, so it's going to happen. You know, it's just, are we going to be ready to embrace those and help them and mentor them and get them equipped? You know, because the next generation is not just young people. It's those who are coming who have no sort of connection to this stuff, whether they're not yet saved or whether they've been saved or whether they're in churches and not yet saved. They're going to hear the call. And God is going to issue that call, and the angels are going to send out that call, and we're going to be in a place where we've got to get ready, you know, and be places where we can see the heavenly government established on earth and where we can actually begin to administrate that and set up places where the harvest is going to come and they will be equipped, you know, because they're all going to stream first and then we're going to send them out, you know. Because cities of refuge are not places for defense. They're administrative centers for dominion and advancing the kingdom and seeing no end to the increase of his government. You know, we're not going to be rescued. We're going to take dominion and see the kingdom fill the earth and that mountain fill the earth. So, yeah.
And Mike, can you define the word stream? I hear you say that a few times. Just wanted to get how you're using it.
What stream as in what was the word?
Well, you just used it again. I'm trying to remember exactly what you said. Did someone else hear exactly what he was saying about the stream? Can you repeat it?
A stream as in like a small river type of thing, a stream of people, like a stream as in a denominational stream or a charismatic stream or that type of thing, or is that what you're saying?
That's what I thought you meant. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I could see, you know, there are sort of groupings of people who have followed the river over a period of time, and they themselves have become a stream of people. You know, that's how I would describe it, a movement, or, you know, and there are different movements or streams of people that have embraced certain things, and there are those that haven't. And I think there is the historic church stream that basically have got no grid of reference for any of this stuff, but I believe God is going to really visit people within it and then, you know, help them to engage God at a different level. So we're in a time of convergence. I think we're in a time where everything is beginning to converge, and we have to really, you know, be aware and be ready and embrace it, and, you know, let's go for it, and let's really see it multiply and change. I mean, I think it's going to grow and, you know, progressively unveil the reality of who we are as sons of God and release us into so much more. You know, I mean, there's things I've seen that I just can't even describe. You know, it's like I have no words to describe some of the things I've seen in the mysteries of heaven, and I'm sort of desperately trying to find a way of explaining things. And I'm really struggling because I've seen some things that I haven't got a grid of reference for. And it's like, you know, it is very much like take someone from 1700 and transport them into today and then try and explain an iPhone or an iPad or even a TV. You know, or anything, even electricity. You know, they would be living with candles, you know, and lamps, and we have so much, you know, and sort of transpose that into things being revealed at that nature, and it doesn't take 300 or 400 years to do it. It happens in a day, or a week, you know, and all of a sudden everything's changed. And we have no language to describe those things that we've never seen before. And that's what's coming. an unveiling of the mysteries of God that have never, ever been seen on earth before. No one's got a grid. No one's got a thing. And therefore, we have to be willing to embrace and discover those things and then reveal them, because we're going to live them and demonstrate them. And there's so much more, you know, where we are, but it's being unveiled. You know, the more I've engaged over the last sort of 9 months in pursuing, you know, the heavenly councils and, you know, the circle of the deep and the 12 chancellors houses, the more, in a sense, I can't describe it, but the more I know that the alignment of it is going to change everything. You know, and I've been working in each of those 12 houses and getting some, you know, vague semblance of what they're about. And now I have some sort of grid, you know, and that helped me to engage the Galactic Council in preparing a case based on the things that God showed me. You know, and I was, you know, pretty reticent to do that. You know, because I'm aware of the consequences when you start operating and, you know, getting authorization to do that. And I've been authorized to continue that. You know, I've got another, well, I don't know when the next one starts. Sometime Justice, you know, starts in May, I think. And, you know, well, I'm basically next week when I come over. So, you know, we've then going to see Grace and Mercy, and we're going to see those that begin to be administered amongst the people of God and into the world. So that is going to be commonplace in the future. You know, I was talking to our Council of 12 last night and just saying, look, you know, I'm probably, you know, 12 to 18 months ahead of where I've taught and things I've been doing, but you're going to have to catch up really quick, because I'm not going to be able to do this, you know, without a lot of other people engaging. And so I'm saying, look, you know, we're going to have to learn to legislate, and we're going to have to learn to bring government in a way which, you know, is going to be so different from what we're doing now. And we've seen influence of it and court cases and different things, but most of that is pretty low-level stuff. It has a major impact on people's lives, so I don't belittle it. I'm just saying it's part of our journey of discovering how the judicial processes of heaven and the court system of heaven works, you know, and be involved in it. Because most of the angels who are involved in those courts are there because we aren't, because we've not yet matured to a place where we have charge of the courts. And I think this process of Zechariah 3:7 is so key to where we are. You know, Zechariah standing in the court of heaven, clothed in robes of righteousness, facing the accuser and being declared not guilty effectively, and then being called to walk in his ways, you know, and then start to administer the precepts of God and to have rule of the house and charge of the courts and to have access standing as sons, really, in the presence of the assemblies of God. That's the journey we're on, you know, and it's such an exciting journey. You know, and we have governors and tutors to help us understand who we are in our heavenly positions of governmental authority as sons of God. You know, and again, they are going to be unveiled. You know, we had a sort of 4 or 5 month period here where we had continual weekly engagement with the seven spirits of God, with the four angels and the four faces of God and their manifestation in our midst. You know, and it was really intense. You know, and that is going to become commonplace. Heaven and earth is going to overlap more and more when we gather. We won't know whether we're on earth or in heaven. It's just going to be just so real in what we're encountering in engaging this realm. So, you know, I'm looking forward to coming over with you guys and maybe having some fun doing some of that.
Can I say something, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
I just am listening, and I can just feel the Lord really on me, really heavy, because I'm really sober-minded by what just happened, because I've been forerunning for a long time, you know, hitting that wall of tradition and all that crap, and now it's starting to crumble, and it's like, oh, you know, and I feel like we've all been in this period of learning, and it's kind of been like a playground. Oh, this is fun, this is great, and this is wonderful, but practically it has a purpose to it.
Yeah.
And the switch, you know, what happened on Sunday, you know, I'm Jason, like, right? I'm Jason, we're all Jason, and so the line just went whoop, and I'm over here going, and it's going to be chaotic, I feel, as people who think they hear from the Lord don't, and that's what I'm finding, is the connection in the heart isn't there. They think they know, but, and then it's going to be very confusing, and that's where I'm kind of working, you know, thinking, okay, practically, I need to be, you know, roaring like a lion, but like a dove going, you know, it's like this, it's a very interesting time. I've been waiting for a long time for the cities of refuge. I mean, that's a vision of mine for, I don't even know, forever. And the Lord is really, it's like he turned a switch on Sunday. It's like he went, okay, that's enough. I really didn't ever think, like, that would happen, like, now. You know, I was thinking, oh, it's down the road. We have some time. We have a little bit of time. And I don't think we do. I'm not scared. I'm just sober-minded, and I feel we go, oh, there's a shift coming. Yay! But when the shift comes, a lot of stuff happens. A lot of stuff crumbles, and you're just like, whoa. It's like the fear of the Lord, you know, really comes. And the sober-mindedness of the time is, I feel like it just happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm fully aware of the significance of this, having, you know, been doing what I've been doing in the heavens. It's like I'm fully aware of what the significance of this is, and it's not something to, you know, just sniff at. It is an important event, and it's what we're doing is important, and where we are is important. So it's a very interesting time to be coming over and meeting you lot. So I think, and you know, I don't think the timing of that is insignificant. I think, you know, things are converging, and I know God wants to establish government, and I know he wants to establish government over the whole of the Northwest, and I know he wants to establish government where each of you are, and he wants to see that government raised up in authority, and, you know, there's so much that God wants to do, and I believe the pattern that is established in the Northwest will be replicated all over, you know, not just over the U.S. It's something I feel that significant about what God is going to do and what God is doing with, you know, a whole bunch of, let's face it, we're all nobodies. You know, we're not superstars on top of the things. It's like no one really knows who we are. You know, we're just followers of God and lovers of God, and we've been called into this for a time such as this. It's like Esther. You know, we've had the perfume applied, and it's still being applied, saying, you know, you're going to come into the king. You know, you've been called for a time such as this. You know, called to the kingdom. You know, and I think there is such significance in that, where we are. You know, I really do. You know, and so I carry a weight, you know, but in a good sense. You know, it's not a burden, but it's a responsibility. And I feel, you know, all of us, you know, who've heard the call, you know, carry that responsibility for what's coming, you know, and hopefully more and more people will begin to embrace their identity and sonship and embrace who they are and their governmental call, but from a place of rest, you know, and I think that's the key. We all have to come out of a place of rest and intimacy and relationship, and that will then, everything will flow out from there, you know, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of slavery mentalities get broken and sonship mentalities get released and experiences of sonship that take place, you know, because God is calling people to sonship, you know. And I think, you know, my own personal walk with God in terms of understanding God as a father and being a son you know, has been a really hard one. You know, I mean, it's been so hard. I mean, I was talking yesterday to a group and who sort of pushed a few buttons with me and got me to share my testimony of my sort of journey from slavery to sonship in terms of understanding the Father and engaging the Father and dealing with my own father issues and wounds and stuff. And it's like, you know, I know this is a crucial moment for sonship. You know, and many of us have struggled with some of these things because we've lived in a fatherless age. You know, and there are so many fatherless people. Even though they might have fathers, they're fatherless from the perspective of heaven and what heaven's model of fatherhood is. And those who have wonderful fathers who've given them a heritage, you know, I praise God for that. You know, I praise God for those. And people like Bill Johnson who can say that they've got 5 generations of heritage behind them, that's awesome. But, you know, those of us that haven't, God is going to restore to us, you know, the heritage that's been lost. You know, and we are being brought to a place of fatherhood and Him fathering us. You know, I mean, I had so much healing and ministry over the years and so many encounters that sort of brought me to a place of sonship, but I'd never been fathered. You know, I never had an earthly father who fathered me. I never had a spiritual father who fathered me, you know, other than those who used and abused me for their own purposes. Basically, I never had one, you know, and then sort of God heals my wounds and scars, and now it's like, now all that's done, all that did is just brought me back to zero. You know, I might have been minus 100 on the scale, now I was zero. For the last 3 years, I've been sonship, you know, fathering, being fathered by the Father, you know, and embracing that, and it's been a wonderful experience, you know, but a very difficult journey that's led up to that, you know. So I'm so grateful for, you know, where we are and this whole call into sonship and the Father revealing His heart to us. You know, it's so much the whole prodigal thing. You know, the whole church religious system has presented God as this harsh taskmaster waiting to pounce on us and punish us. You know, and he is the Father who's waiting with open arms, smiling, waiting to put the ring on our finger and the new clothes and celebrate and rejoice over us being returned to sonship. You know, and that's an amazing picture that I believe so many people, God is wanting to experience. Real, true sonship by meeting the real, true Father. So, you know, I'm sort of really in that place. You know, I've been in that place for quite a while of embracing the Father and being embraced and going deeper. And I just want to see more and more people experience that and come into that reality of what it is to be embraced by the Father and blessed and empowered to be a son. You know,
so. I am a bit awestruck. I love how the Lord always strikes me with awe all the time, because I know that, you know, you speak and things happen, but the, you know, the things I've been speaking for, I don't know, so long, thinking, oh, the, you know, knowing that what is coming and, you know, forming with my mouth for 10 years, 15 years, and it's, I can just feel like the moment that Joseph was brought out of the prison, right? You know, it's that moment of, you know, into the air, and oh my goodness, this is really starting. You know, all the preparation that we've had, all the, you know, all the years of, this is just a drill, you know. Mm-hmm. This is just a drill. This is school. This is preparation. We've been saying that forever, you know. And now it's like, okay, the drill is, this is not a drill. this is like, it just feels like a moment of things that we've thought, things we've been led, things we've been dreaming about, things that the Lord has put in our, in the deep desires of our heart, our, you know, all the promises, you know, hope that's been unfulfilled, all that stuff is, it's starting, and it's interesting, and it's a little scary.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, they start, I can see, you know, people start to look to me, and I'm like, wow, you know, I know a little bit, but wow, you know, it's a very strange feeling, and I've been asking the Lord, you know, prepare my heart, get me ready. You know, we say, get me ready, and then we go, I'm ready, and then when it starts to happen, you go, wait a minute, I'm not ready.
Well, I mean, every call is always carries with it a crisis of faith, and if we think we can do it, then it's not really a call of God. I mean, God calls us to things we can't do in our natural strength. That's why he calls us, and then he empowers us. And I think, you know, the key in all of this is realizing that God allows us to learn through failure. You know, we never get to fail the test. He just keeps giving us the test so we can pass it. And he uses the situations that we face to mature and grow us, and it's okay. You know, this statement, you know, this, you know, God would rather have amateurs in the new than professionals in the old, is because amateurs make lots of mistakes, but they know it, and they have a relationship with God which is based in forgiveness and cleansing and love. So we're not fearful of getting it wrong. We're not fearful of making a mistake, because we know that's just going to be a stepping stone, because God will use it to help us. You know, he won't punish us. He won't come down on top of us, because he sees our hearts and our willingness to grow and learn. And we're not going to be fearful of the responsibility, because we're afraid, oh, well, we're going to get it wrong, and therefore we'd rather not do it. We're not going to bury our talents in the ground. You know, we're going to use them for God's purposes, with the freedom, the knowing that he is always smiling over us. His countenance is always fair. You know, he is never angry with us. All that got dealt with. You know, it's just his divine ability and love and joy and peace that he wants to express. And we're in that place where that's getting revealed, and more people are beginning to get this blindness, you know, this religious veil removed. You know, and it is like Joseph's coming out of the prison. It's just been a religious prison. You know, we've been locked up in religious blindness for so long. And when you come out, the light is really difficult to bear. You know, I mean, it's like you come out of darkness and there's like a bright light, and it's like, whoa, it's going to take a bit for my eyes to get accustomed to this. You know, and that's what it's like on each stage. You know, when I've been into some of the realms of heaven, the first time I went into some of the places, I couldn't see. It was so bright, and I couldn't breathe because the atmosphere was so different. And I'm like, oh, you know, but I stuck with it, and then things became focused, and I could see, and I could embrace those different arenas. And it's like that for each one. But if we press through, then we grow. You know, I don't want to be on my face when the glory cloud appears. I want to be ministering in the glory. You know, that was old covenant. They couldn't stand to minister. New covenant is, according to Jude, we can stand in the glory. You know, because we're designed to stand in the glory. We're designed to radiate glory. So, you know, we've got to get used to it. You know, and that's what it feels like sometimes. You know, we had such a weight of the presence of God that people couldn't stand under it. Now everyone's standing under it, because they're not just got taken it for granted. They've just got used to operating in a heavier gravity, if you like. You know, but when you operate in a heavier gravity, you're then free. When you step out of it, you can jump higher, you can fly, you know, and it's like Superman, you know, and we're all called to be superheroes in the faith.
You know, I feel like things have shifted here. Stuff,
you know?
I feel like things have shifted here. I led worship on Sunday at the portal, and I normally go somewhere anyway, but I'm always gone, and I normally don't care if you go with me, because what was interesting is that I could feel them pulling on on me, okay, she's going to lead us into worship, and it made me start to get sick to my stomach. And before, I would have just pressed through, and because I know how to plow through that crap. And but I said, you know, I'm going to wait for you guys to lift the atmosphere up to a level, or I'm just going to go home. I said, I need you guys to, you know, I have made everybody engage. And a couple of people came in and they said, yeah, we came in and we were wanting you to do it. And you made me mad because you made me worship in my own responsible self, right? So I made everybody engage. And I said, I'm just going to wait till the atmosphere kind of clears in here because I'm not, you know, or I'm just going to leave. And so everybody, there was like 70 people in the room and everybody just got engaged. And I started playing and I took off like a rocket. I haven't done that since I lived in France. And it lasted about an hour. And I felt like we came back and the spaceship kind of landed. But the whole body went with me. Awesome. Corporately, I mean, the whole room went with me. And we landed and everyone went, whoa, where'd we go? and that had... And I feel like that kind of glory, that kind of thing is starting to increase as the line in the sand is drawn, that the visible, that kind of stuff is going to be visible and it's easy. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're certainly in a time of change, you know, and we just need to embrace that change and experience it. And I think that becomes our testimony. You know, once these things are not just theoretical things, but are our testimony, then we have a testimony to give to others who can taste and see that God is good. You know, and they can taste the fruit and know it's good fruit. You know, this isn't bad. You know, people may be saying it's weird, wacky out there, but the reality is it's good. You know, there's something of it, of the fragrance of God, that makes it good, and your spirit, you know, your soul may react, but your spirit just gets drawn, you know, and that's where we are. And I think we just need to see more and more of that release.
So just a thought, Mike.
Yeah.
Reflecting back a few minutes, what's the first thing that happens when you go into a new country, like the old pioneer days or the adventurous days, you know, missionary days, rather? Mm-hmm. They learn the language. And you were reflecting on being 18 months out ahead. I've been working on a thought on language, and every time a new move comes, we have to learn the language of the move. And so that's what you're doing for us and for others. We're learning the language of this new move so we can communicate clearly. Yeah. Mike Lindell just asked, what is stream? What do you mean by streams? Well, that's how we're understanding how to communicate. Just a thought.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why God is looking for forerunners who will embrace it and then be able to communicate and mentor others in it. And that's why the Joshua Generation thing is so important. You know, it's just, and we don't have to be a long way ahead. You know, we just have to be a step. Because if we can help that next person to take that step, then there's another step and another step, and we can walk with people and through this. And, you know, it's really exciting. It's exciting, but on the other hand, it's, you know, there's a shift, and a shift always, as you say, brings challenges with it. That we will be able to overcome, because we can overcome them from a place of government in heaven rather than trying to come up with earthly solutions and try and figure it out. We can get heavenly mandates and blueprints for this is how you're going to do this, you know, and that's what God is calling us to, you know, all of us, whether it's for our personal lives or different gatherings and ecclesias and ministries and everything else. You know, we're all being called to embrace, you know, who we really are in our sonship with God, and express the fullness of God through the four faces of God. You know, no longer is there just going to be, well, you're a prophet and you're an apostle and you're the priest and you're the king. No, we're all of them, and we reflect all of it in our life. You know, I bring order, I bring the word of God, I bring the government of God, and I connect people to it because I'm being a reflection of God, you know, and I didn't have to earn it or do anything for it. I just had to surrender to it. And that's the thing. It's just a matter of surrender, which is, okay, maybe challenging, but we don't have to go through the hoops. We just have to surrender and allow him to do whatever he's going to do in preparing us and encouraging us. So, yeah, we're at a crucial juncture, and it's great to be involved. You know, even in a small way, to be involved in some of this is a joy to see people's lives engage, you know, and see people change and see people just embrace who they are and their identity. So it's awesome. Anyway, I need